We turn in sacred scripture to Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 21. Acts chapter 21, we read the first 18 verses. This is Paul at the end of his third missionary journey, finishing his third missionary journey. Acts 21, beginning at verse 1. And it came to pass that after we were gotten from them and had launched, we came with a straight course unto Coos, and the day following unto Rhodes, and from thence unto Patara. And finding a ship sailing over unto Phoenicia, we went aboard and set forth. Now when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed into Syria and landed at Tyre, for there the ship was to unlade her burden. And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. When we had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way, and they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city, and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. And when we had taken our leave one of another, we took ship, and they returned home again. And when we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais and saluted the brethren and abode with them 1 day. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea. And we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him, one of the seven deacons. And the same man had 4 daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle, his belt, and bound his own hands and feet, and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready, not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, The will of the Lord be done. And after those days, we took up our carriages and went up to Jerusalem. There went with us also certain of the disciples of Caesarea, and brought with them one Mnason of Cyprus, an old disciple, with whom we should lodge. And when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. And the day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. So far we read God's word. Notice verse 14. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, The will of the Lord be done. It's on the basis of this passage of Scripture and on the basis of many passages of Scripture that we have the teaching of the Heidelberg Catechism as it's found in Lord's Day 49, found on page 26 in the back of the Psalter, Lord's Day 49, which is the third petition. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That is, grant that we and all men may renounce our own will and without murmuring obey thy will, which is only good. That so everyone may attend to and perform the duties of his station and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels do in heaven. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, by way of introduction, let me remind you of a fundamental truth. And that fundamental truth is this. The Christian life is a life of thankfulness. the Christian life is a life of thankfulness. That's where we are in the catechism, and that must never be forgotten. Why are we so busy in the daily activity of turning from sin, the hard activity of turning from sin? Why do we have the strict preaching of the law? Why are we passionate about the truth of God's Word? Why are we adamant about pursuing a holy life to the glory of God? Because we are thankful. We are thankful for the gracious, glorious salvation that God has given us in Jesus Christ. He has provided us a Savior. He's washed away all our sins through the shed blood of His Son. He has made us heirs of eternal life through Jesus Christ. And we want to give God the honor and the glory due unto His name. That's what burns in the heart of the child of God. He is thankful. That's why he does everything that he does. And in order to live and die happily, he must know how he is to express his thankfulness to God for the great deliverance he has given him in Jesus Christ. Now, what we also want to remember is this. Prayer is the chief part of thankfulness. Prayer is, we can say, the highest expression of thankfulness. To worship God in prayer, to communicate our thoughts in prayer, our thanks in prayer, to seek God in prayer as the highest good and the source of all joy, the source of our life, to seek God in prayer as the fountain of all good, and to pray to Him as our Lord and Savior taught us to pray, is the greatest expression of thankfulness. We even saw it this morning with baptism. Little Josie was baptized, and what did we do? We went to God in prayer, a prayer of thanksgiving, because that's where thanksgiving starts. If you are thankful that God is your God, if you are thankful that God has saved you from your sins, what will you do? You will pray. Don't first look at how many hours you put in at work this past week. Don't first look at how you denied yourself in so many ways this past week. First, look at this. Have you actually walked with God in prayer? Have you actually enjoyed God and lived out of the life of prayer and communion with God? For the true child of God, prayer is basic. Well, as we've been going through the Lord's Prayer this morning, we come to the third petition. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Here, with this third petition, we have our thankfulness expressed in a very particular and powerful way. In this third petition, what we are saying is this: Lord, we are thankful. We are thankful that Thou art God. And Lord, we are thankful that Thou art God and we are not. We are thankful for Thy powerful deliverance of us from all our sins. Father, we know our place. We are Thy servants. Thou art the King, and we are Thy redeemed servants. Father, we don't want to be God. Father, we have had enough of serving self. Father, that was our misery. And we freely acknowledge we are nothing, and Thou art everything. Thou art great. Thou art glorious. Thou art only good. And Father, we want Thy will to be done. Thou art the King. Thou art the glorious One. And this is the glory Thou art deserving of, that Thy will and Thy will alone be done. Thy will alone is good, and Thy will certainly is more than enough for us. This is how great our thanksgiving is. We don't want our will to be done, only Thy will. Beloved, I think that's very fitting for the occasion of baptism, and particularly this morning's baptism. Very relevant to the circumstances. We take as our theme this morning, praying for God's will to be done. We look at that theme under 3 points. First, praying for God's will. Second, renouncing our own will. And then third, the only possibility. As we begin looking at this third petition, the first thing that we need to understand is that God is a willing God. God is a willing being. Among creatures on this earth, it's easy to see the distinction between willing creatures, creatures who will, and creatures that do not will. A tree does not have a will. A tree does not act consciously. It does not choose or determine. A tree is not a willing creature. It is a creature. It's a created thing, but not a willing creature. A willing creature is a creature that acts consciously and willingly and intellectually and determines to do things according to the dictates of his heart. It's the will. It's the faculty, the power of the will that distinguishes men and angels from the rest of the creatures. The will is the faculty by which a person judges and distinguishes what is good and evil and chooses either for the good or the evil. And just so, God himself is a willing being. God is one who possesses a mind, an intellect, by which he reasons. He's not a computer. He's not just some abstract force. He's a will. And in all his acts and in all his works, he is an intellectual, conscious, and determining being. He determines and decides what is good, and he chooses it. And in fact, God is a willing being in a way that we are not, because our willing activity is very limited. Our activity of willing is dependent on so many things. For example, we don't choose or get to choose or will what the good is and what the evil is. We don't get to determine that. But with God, that's different. God's act of willing is entirely independent. God is not just the one who chooses between the good and the evil. God is the one who gets to choose what the good is and what the evil is. What is good? Good is what God has chosen to be good, according, with what is in harmony with his own being. What is evil? Evil is what God wills to be evil. This is part of who God is. By the exercise of his own will, he determines what everything is. That's even why the Catechism says that God's will is only good. It's good exactly because it's the will of God. By definition, it is good. Because what God wills is good. I hope you understand this. That's exactly part of what it means for God to be God. And this is very practical. Because the issue in our hearts so often is this. That's what we want to do. We want to be God in that way. It shows itself in exactly this way. I want to determine and decide for myself what is good and what is evil. I will determine what is good for my life. I will determine what I need in my life right now. I get to choose which commandments of God are important, and I get to choose which commandments of God can be compromised. I get to choose what is right for me to do in this situation. I get to choose my own pathway in life. And we're pushing God out of his place and acting as if we are God. The reality is, we are not God. It is not our will that determines what is good for us. That's the teaching in our culture today. It's your will that determines what is good for you. No, it is God's will. And in this third petition, we are confessing exactly this point. I am not God, but God is God. He determines what is good. He determines what is evil. He determines also what are the good circumstances for me and my life right now. And I submit to that because I acknowledge that he is good, God, and he is good. He is God, and I am not. Thy will be done. Now to move on, the second thing that we need to understand is that we need to make a distinction between what is called the will of God's decree and the will of God's command. Two aspects of the one will of God. By the will of God's decree, we refer to God's eternal plan by which he has determined all things that take place. By the will of God's decree, we refer to everything that takes place in history. by the will of God's decree, we refer to God's eternal decree of double predestination, election and reprobation. By the will of God's decree, we refer to the decree concerning Jesus Christ, that God would create the world, that he would send Christ into the world to save sinners and magnify his own name in that way. In Ephesians 1 verse 11, the Apostle Paul writes, quote, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will." End quote. There are no accidents in this world. There's nothing that happens by chance. But everything that takes place because it is part of the eternal will of God's good pleasure. That's the will of God's decree, God's decretive will. He determines who shall be saved, who shall not be saved. All things he determines according to his will, the will of his decree. In distinction from that will of God's decree, we can also speak about the will of God's command. By the will of God's command, we refer simply to the Ten Commandments. We refer to what God requires of his willing creatures, creatures who have the faculty of a will. By the will of God's command, we refer to what God commands us to do. In Matthew 7, verse 21, for example, Jesus makes reference to this will of God's command when he says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." Jesus is talking there about God's commands. The will of God's command is also called God's preceptive will, the will of his precepts, God's decretive will, and his preceptive will. And we should understand there's no conflict between these two aspects of the one will of God. They are both part of the one will of God. The will of God's decree refers to what God has determined for himself to do. And the will of God's command refers to what God has determined or required that his creatures should do, what he requires of them. God's going to do certain things. God's going to carry out his decree. And as God carries out his decrees and his eternal good pleasure, God commands that his people and that all mankind should live and behave a certain way in the midst of those circumstances that God places them in. That's the distinction between the will of God's decree and the will of his command. These are very important concepts. In this third petition, the question is, which aspect of God's will is Jesus referring to? When we pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," what are we referring to? Are we praying for God to carry out his decree? Or are we praying that we would keep God's commandments? Well, when we first look at the wording of this petition, our inclination would be to say that it's referring to the will of God's command. After all, the comparison is made between how we must do God's will compared to how the angels in heaven do God's will. May we keep thy commandments just as willingly and faithfully as the angels keep thy commandments and do what thou dost command them to do in heaven. This third petition evidently is referring to the will of God's command. And yet, I think that intuitively, by the Holy Spirit, we understand that we're praying for more in this petition than just that. That we can flesh that out more. Because the reality is, you can't really separate the will of God's command from the will of God's decree. They go together. They are part of the one will of God. And in your life, God is your God in both these respects. He determines what your circumstances will be, and he also determines how you are to live in the midst of those circumstances. God sets the stage for your life, and then God commands you to live for his glory according to his commandments in the midst of those circumstances. And so when you pray, "Thy will be done," you are praying for both those things. Father, have thine own will. Father, do what thou wilt in my life. And then, Father, may I live according to thy commandments in the midst of those circumstances. That's exactly what God's will is, that I should give God obedience in exactly the way that God wants me to give him obedience in these circumstances he has put me in. He's put me in these circumstances exactly so that I bring him glory exactly the way he wants me to bring him glory in these circumstances by keeping his commandments in these circumstances. God has his decrees. That's what he has determined to do. And there's also my responsibility, responding to that will of God in obedience to his commandments. So I need to ask myself, in this situation God has ordained for me, what does he want me to do? That's the issue. And now here's the thing. This is what really ties these two aspects together. Part of God's commandment for me is exactly that I submit to his purposes in my life with contentment and thankfulness, and not try to rebel against the will of God or despise it. You see, these two aspects are inseparable. You cannot submit to the will of God's commandment in a manner that pleases God without at the same time submitting to his decrees as they pertain to your life with humility and contentment and praise. So to be clear, in this third petition, what are we praying for? We're praying for two things. First, we are praying that God would give us the desire and the ability to keep his commandments so that we actually do what he commands us to do. And second, we are praying that God would give us the grace to embrace his sovereign will for our lives without complaining or murmuring. And that's really included in the first aspect, to do what he commands us to do. And part of that involves that we submit to his will with contentment and without murmuring and complaining. And we are praying that God would indeed fulfill his own good purposes with our lives. Now, what does that involve? That involves the renouncing of our own wills. And that leads us to the second point of the sermon, renouncing our own wills. And that's something that the Catechism emphasizes. It puts it right at the very front of this answer. It really stands at the heart of this petition. What is the third petition? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is, grant that we and all men may renounce our own will, and without murmuring, obey thy will, which is only good. So in this third petition, we are praying, grant that we would renounce our own will. Now, to understand that, we need to understand that just as God is a willing God, just as God is a God who wills, so God has also created us as willing creatures, creatures who will. You have a will. We determine to do things. We choose things. But here's the difference. Man's will is the will of a servant. Man's will is the will of a servant, and that's how God created us. Man's will is the will of a servant in this sense. Man does not determine the standard for what is good and what is evil. God does. By his will, he does. And man is called to exercise his will in the service of God and what God has determined. Now, when God originally created Adam and Eve, God created man to do this perfectly. Originally, the will of man was such that it was in perfect harmony with the will of God. Adam's will was in perfect harmony with the will of God. But when man sinned, his will suddenly became contrary to the will of God, so that his will became corrupt. He became wicked, rebellious, and obdurate in heart and will. the canons of Dort tell us, so that by nature we do not say, "Thy will be done." Rather, by nature, we say this, "Damn God's will, my will be done." That's part of our total depravity. By nature, we hate God and the neighbor, and we hate God's will. But now the wonder of grace is this. When God, through Jesus Christ, comes into our heart and regenerates us, then once again, in a beginning, in principle, we say again, "Thy will be done." When the Spirit of Jesus Christ comes into our heart, when we are engrafted into Christ through the bond of faith, then we, out of Christ, say, as Christ says in us and through us, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That's where the renouncing of our own will begins. And now, to be perfectly clear, as those who belong to Jesus Christ, we need to renounce our wills in two ways. First, we need to renounce the will of our sinful natures. We need to renounce the will of our sinful natures by which we lust after sin and we want to walk in the way of sin. We understand that. And then second, we need to renounce our wills also in this sense, when it's clear that our will for our lives is not the will of God's decree. We are willing creatures. But first of all, we need to remember that by nature, we only will what is wicked and what is opposed to God. We need to renounce the will of our old man of sin. And second of all, we need to remember that our wills need to be the wills of a servant. We must will only in conformity with the will of our Lord and King. And so what does that mean? Well, first, it doesn't mean that we can't have our own good desires. It doesn't mean that if we are sick, we first have to wait what God has decreed before we can pray for healing. It doesn't mean that if a loved one is walking in sin, that we can't pray for repentance, even though in God's decree, that's not God's will. There's nothing wrong with having good desires. But the point is that we must have the attitude that we are the servants of God. And above everything else, we want His will to be done. So we can pray, "Lord, grant healing." But then what do we pray? Children, you know what we pray. "Lord, grant healing, if it be thy will." We pray, "Lord, work repentance in this man's heart." And then what do we pray? "Lord, if it be thy will." "Lord, thy will be done." That's what we want. "And as thy will is done, give me the grace to follow thy commandments as thou hast given them." Just think of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. This is exactly what Jesus experienced. Jesus was facing the last stretch of his journey to the cross, and Jesus prayed in the garden, "Oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." That was his desire. And then immediately he added, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." And what's so striking about that is that Jesus was a man without sin. Jesus' will, the will of his human nature, was to shirk back, to stand back from the suffering that God was leading him to. And there was nothing wrong with Jesus as he experienced that. But even then, Jesus immediately says, "Nevertheless, this is not what I truly want. I shirk back, but this is not what I want, for what I want is thy will to be done." And the point being, Jesus had the will of a servant. And as a servant, Jesus wanted God's will to be done. He wanted God's decrees to be carried out, whatever that meant for Jesus. And Jesus knew exactly what that meant. He also knew the joy that was in store for him. That's why he endured the cross. He knew God's will was good, even though it meant the way of the cross. And Jesus desired to obey God's commandments and to do God's will. no matter the experiences that God would lead him through. Now that same attitude needs to live within us. Jesus Christ in us needs to live. It does live in us if Jesus is living in us. This is Christ in me. I am a servant. My life does not belong to me. It belongs to the Lord, and he is free to do with it whatever so ever he will wants. And as he does with my life what he wants, as he works out his decree in my life, he also has revealed to me the way he wants me to behave in those circumstances. So I pray, Lord, may I put away self. Grant that I may put away myself, my self-seeking, my selfish ambitions, put away my own kingdom and put away my own glory. And may I obey thy will as thou dost lead me through these circumstances so that thy kingdom comes and thy name is hallowed just the way that pleases thee. Now, beloved, let's try to make this real for ourselves. Maybe some of you know, maybe some of you don't. In Michigan, there's a little 4-year-old girl who has just been recently diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. What are her parents supposed to say? What are her parents supposed to do? Lord, have thine own way with us. Lord, give us the grace and the strength to honor thee in these circumstances, to trust thy goodness, and to do now what thou hast commanded us to do in the midst of this calling and station that thou hast given us. Maybe some of you know, in Loveland, there's a young man around 18 years old who just last week had his right hand almost completely blown off by fireworks. In the strength of his youth, and his right hand is taken away. What's that young man supposed to say? What's that young man supposed to do? Lord, have thine own way. Lord, grant that I may renounce my own will right now and, without murmuring or complaint, submit to thy will. Thy will alone is good for me. Thou art the God who gives and takes away, even when it comes to my body parts. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Think about things in our own church. Marriages in our church that are not what they're supposed to be. There are parents in our midst who have children who are worldly, who show themselves to be unbelievers, walking in sin. Perhaps there are some who can't find work, and they're sending their applications around. Finally, they get a call back, and there's a job opening, but they find out, oh yeah, I have to work Sundays. And they know by default that it can't be the will of the Lord for them to take that job. And so they submit to that, and they continue to remain jobless for the time. Perhaps there are those who could be harvesting their crops on Sunday because the weather's so beautiful. But they know this is sin against God. They know this is not God's will. And if I harvest these crops on Sunday, that thy blessing isn't upon it, thy curse is upon it. And so what do they pray? They pray, Lord, thy will be done. Give the beautiful sunshine on Sunday and give the storm clouds on Monday, if it be thy will. And grant that I may renounce this desire to harvest crops on Sunday and submit to thy will and honor thee in this day. Think about the little baby girl who's born with 2 main arteries of the heart in the wrong place. Her parents didn't pray for that either. That wasn't the desire, that wasn't directly the first desire of the parents for their sweet daughter to have that. They weren't praying for that before they went to the ultrasound. But what happens? The young couple takes the matter to the Lord in prayer, and what do? The first thing they pray is this: Hallowed be thy name. Grant that we may rightly know thee as the good and awesome God that thou art. Second, thy kingdom come. Rule us more and more by thy word and spirit, that we might submit ourselves unto thee. And then, thy will be done. Because whatever we wanted, Lord, what we ultimately want is exactly this, that thy will be done in the life of our daughter. And Lord, if this is thy will, as it so obviously is, then give us the grace to submit to it, to praise thy name through it, and to carry out our calling and station as parents of this child in a way that honors thee, just like the angels honor thee in heaven. Think about the little baby who is colicky, and the mom is up all night, and her arms are tired just bouncing that baby up and down all night long. Lord, this is not what I was expecting with this baby. Lord, I didn't realize this is how hard it was going to be. Lord, give me grace. Lord, thy will be done. Lord, give me the grace to carry out this privileged and blessed calling in a way that honors thee. Thy will be done. Think about this. I'm a student at school. Lord, this is my calling and station in life right now. Let me do it as willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven. That's for you, children, to pray. I'm a factory worker. This is thy will for my life. Lord, let me do it as diligently, as willingly, and faithfully as the angels in heaven. I'm a single mother, raising these children the best I can. Lord, let me do it as willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven. This is what we're talking about, beloved. Give me the mind of Christ Jesus, my Savior, that I might have a servant's heart and a servant's will to do what thou hast commanded me in these circumstances in which thou hast placed me. Give me to follow after Christ. Congregation, do you know how radical that is? Your sinful nature and my sinful nature screams out against it. This petition is devastating to the flesh. The flesh hates it. Sometimes we even question whether we should pray this petition. And that's the foolishness and arrogance of our own sinful nature then too. How is it possible to pray this petition? How is it possible? Well, there's a few things to remember. First, when we pray this petition, congregation, we must remember who we are in Jesus Christ. Always, as the redeemed and regenerated children of God, we must remember what God has already done for us in the cross, in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We must remember that God has already been so infinitely gracious and good to us in forgiving us all our sins. He's forgiven us all our sins, and he forgives the sins of our children. And we are thankful. And we are thankful because we recognize this life, whatever it looks like, and whatever circumstances God puts me in, this life that I get to live out of Jesus Christ with God as my God is not what I deserve. Whatever my circumstances, this is not what I deserve. We are thankful. Second, there is this. We must remember that God is good, and he is only good. He is always good. He is the all-wise, all-powerful, loving and compassionate God. And in Jesus Christ, he has been so good to me, and he has promised that he will only do good to me. He will, as the baptism form says, avert all evil or turn it to our profit. I don't have any reason to be afraid of God's will for me or resist it, either his decrees or his commandments. I have no reason to be afraid of them or resist them. In fact, I have only every reason to embrace them because God's will is better than I can imagine. It's better than my own will. He knows the thoughts that he thinks towards me, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give me an expected end. Beloved, you personally need to recognize that when it comes to the circumstances in your life right now, this is exactly what is good for you. That's very humbling. But that's exactly where we confess, I am not God, and I want to elevate him and keep him where he is as God in my life. This is exactly how it should be. There is no better way for my life than these circumstances right now. And obeying God's will and repenting of my foolish thoughts and my sins. We have no reason to pity ourselves, beloved. We have no reason to pity ourselves. Your God is abundantly gracious and good, and he knows exactly what he's doing. You might not understand how true this is, but God is in control, and he has marked out your path with utmost care. And one day, with glorified eyes, you will be able to see how God worked it all together for good. And you will have all eternity to see it and realize it. And finally, there is this. The question is, what is the only possibility of praying this petition? Answer, by starting out with this reality, God is my Father. Isn't that how the Lord's Prayer begins? Our Father, which art in heaven. That sets the stage for everything. And I trust him more than I trust myself. He calls me to jump into the pool, and he's got his hands out there. He's peddling water. A father tells his child to jump, I'll catch you. The child trusts his father more than he trusts himself. That's how it is with us. We trust God and God's commandments and God's will more than we trust ourselves. He's my Father. On his word, I can rely entirely. I can trust his commandments entirely. They are more to be desired than gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. To do my own will is death. To turn away from God's commandments for me, his child, is death. But it is good to do the will of God, for the will of God is only good, and to do the will of God is eternal life. That's the reality. I belong to Jesus Christ, and in Jesus Christ, God is my Father who does all things well. Indeed, outside of Jesus Christ, God does all things well, but this is my position, my status in Christ. He's my Father who does all things well. Now, to close this sermon, let me say a few things to the parents who had their child baptized this morning, and say a few things to all of us, especially to those who are parents. Drew and Brianna, God has given you a high calling with little Josie. He's given you the calling to raise one of his children, we trust, in the fear of his name, to the utmost of your power. As part of that calling, God has also given you the calling to model what it means to pray this third petition. That's the calling of parents, we understand, to show their children what it is to pray this third petition. And Drew and Brianna will have to show Josie in her life what it means to pray this petition. Josie will have to go through some challenging things in life with all the surgeries that she will have to undergo, Lord willing. With all the surgeries she will have to undergo, Lord willing. This is going to be a petition that becomes very real in the life of this home and family. This is a prayer that the parents will have to teach their children in a very special way. I ask the question now again, what's the only possibility for us to pray this petition and for our little daughters and our little sons to submit to this petition? The only possibility is for us to constantly remember and teach our children who they are in Jesus Christ. You need to remember, you are not your own. You belong to your faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And you need to teach little Josie that too, and all our children. God is our Father. Not a hair can fall from my head, except it be by His will. This is how He has chosen to glorify His name in my life. And He is good, and He is faithful, and He is right in all that He does. And He has been good to me in Jesus Christ. Whatever His will for my life is, I know His will is my salvation. And so I can pray this petition eagerly and with earnest. Thy will be done, O Lord. Grant that we and all men may renounce our own will and without murmuring submit to Thy will. And that we might carry out our station and calling in life as willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, Thou alone art good. Thy will alone is good. Conform our wills unto Thy will. And write Thy eternal truths upon our hearts so that we can do this with earnest and zeal. We thank Thee, Father. We praise Thee that Thy will is our salvation. In the midst of deep valleys, perhaps, and dark ways, but the end is sure. The joy that is set before us in Jesus Christ is sure. So fill us with Him that we might have His servant's will and bring us to Him in due time. Bless this preaching to our hearts and lives. To Thy name's glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.